We stay with the subject of unusual weather and the flooding that's inundated parts of the West for another installment in the occasional Living on Earth Orion magazine series, The Place Where You Live. Orion invites readers to submit essays to the magazine's website, put their homes on the map, and we give them a voice. This essay takes us to a hidden world in California.
I live with my husband and our daughters in Sacramento, California, along the American River. We look like we're situated in the middle of the city, but when you walk into the backyard, it's as though you've traveled through a portal and you ended up in an episode of Wild Kingdom. It's this river and the wildlife that defines this place that we call home. I'm Jennifer Berry, and this is my essay on the American River. Bundled in warm clothes, we breakfast along the American River, enjoying a temporary parting of clouds after weeks of rain. We eat in silent reverence for the landscape we call home, absorbing the transformed land. The river rose an estimated 15 feet, burying trees to their canopies, swallowing the island between its two forks, and marooning logs and entangling debris atop bushes. This spooky sea climbed up the bank towards our home. Our resident osprey flies by the first time this year. I exhale, relieved. I noted its absence and wondered if this unrecognizable river drove it away. I noted the unusually close proximity of the red-tailed hawk resting on our breakfast table. Then the cooper's hawk, waiting on the nearby perch we mounted for songbirds. We talk about the ground-dwelling creatures of the island and riparian corridor that were washed away. What happened to the coyote pack that ruled the riverbeds and met our gaze on frequent encounters? The beaver dam upstream has been swept away, too. No wading birds, except a lone great egret, braves the turbulence, standing upon a snarl of tree branches and roots in the middle of this sea, staring into the white-capped, muddy current. I want to interpret this as destruction. But nature has other ideas. The great blue herons fly in on schedule and claim their nests in the rookery. Abundant tree swallows fly at sharp angles and dips. Winter's diving ducks have repositioned themselves away from the swift current to feed, bobbing on the choppy surface between dives. And the cottontails and quail moved out of the floodplain and into our hedges. Canada geese settle onto the first land exposed as the river recedes. My husband spots a California sea lion upstream, chasing this year's healthy run of fish more than 80 miles up the delta. It's dusk. I'm out at the river again. I admire the silhouettes of the naked trees and the sky's light that illuminates the river. I note the biorhythms of the natural world, and I am awed and comforted by its ability to adapt and carry on. Back at our home, the landscape looks like it's been through a natural disaster. The riverbed has been reformed into strange land masses, and the rolling hills on the island between the forks are now eroded cliffs, and giant trees have been knocked down, carried downstream, and deposited in the weirdest of places, and the trees and bushes still standing are matted with debris and human litter. I want to be sad when I see it, but the life all around me doesn't let me. Nature has this way of surviving in the middle of the aftermath of this flood, and I come to realize that nature doesn't think about what was like we do. It just works with what is. Even after years, we see something amazing every day, whether it's a family of beavers swimming across the river at sunset, an osprey with a giant fish flopping in its talons so close I can look in its eye, or a group of bucks with enormous antlers swimming across in this tight-knit pack and then galloping through the hills onto the other side. We have coyote packs that run along the river and howl late at night, and we'll fling ourselves from our beds and run out onto the patio to see if we can see them. My husband and I have a tradition. Every night when the sun is about to go down, one of us calls sunset, And we stop what we're doing. We grab our binoculars and our dogs, and we head out to our Adirondack chairs and watch as the natural world goes about its nightly routines, reconnect with each other, decompress, recompose ourselves. And there's something amazing about communing with nature in that way. It's alive out here. And that does something to your soul when you're a part of it. And I don't know that we could separate this location from who we are anymore.
That's Jennifer Berry and her essay on floods in her backyard on the American River. You can find details about Orion Magazine and how to submit your essay if you want to tell us about the place where you live at our website, loe.org.